We'll proceed tonight by picking a few scriptures to draw some lessons before we begin to pray. Don't forget where we started yesterday. We saw that the natural man was designed to be limited. The natural man designed to be limited, incapacitated. And in order for you to be complete, to have the capacity to fulfill your greatest potential, God designed that the Holy Spirit will walk with you. And so the Bible says it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. So everything that we are going to be in the hand of God is going to be through the assistance, the agency of the Holy Spirit. We also saw yesterday that it's our responsibility to activate the operation of Christ within us. What we received when the Holy Spirit came upon us is inherent. And by inherent we mean it is like a software that is installed within us. We call it forth by will. We call that software forth by will because it's inherent. The software that is installed in your computer, if you want to use it, you can click on it and it begins to boot. Now, the Holy Spirit you received when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost is installed capacity. You have to call that capacity forth at will. That's the only operation of God that is given to us that we can operate at will. So you can decide, according to 1 Corinthians 14, to engage the Holy Spirit in prayers. Paul says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my understanding. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, what happens is you feel your measure. When you feel your measure, then the Holy Spirit quickens you. Now, it is at this level of being quickened that you become supernaturally aided. That's when you become a warrior. That's when you can interface with the spirit realm. That's when you can do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And the truth of the matter is this: we are different. All of us here are different. You may not have discovered your capacity until you labor before God in the place of prayer and then you get quickened. When you get quickened, when you are switched on spiritually, when your spiritual senses are activated, then the kind of person that you are spiritually is revealed through the abilities that are available at your disposal on the account of the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus was saying that when he becomes quickened, the words he utters, actually, it's a compendium of spirits in transit. And that's why he has the capacity to impart life. Now, the real you is who you are when you are quickened. The warrior you. And there are different kinds of warriors. There are some people that are good at long-range weapons. Long-range. Amen. Long-range issues. They are artillery people. They can do something here in the spirit. The impact of what they are doing here will happen in Lagos. You begin to see that pattern is peculiar to your own operation spiritually. It's on the strength of studying your capacity by experience that you can understand what powers God has made available to you. Hallelujah. For instance, a prophet like Balaam has a strong spiritual capacity such that Balaam may pray, his prayers may not be answered. But if Balaam curses you, the Bible says, whosoever he curseth is cursed. Now, you will find that unique ability at work in your life when you begin to study your capacities, when you are quickened by the Holy Spirit. So, the journey as a battle axe begins when you are quickened. And in order for you to be quickened by the Holy Spirit, you must exercise yourself speaking in the Holy Spirit. And so the potential that we received upon our baptism in the Holy Spirit now becomes available, now becomes functional when we are quickened by the Spirit of God. That is when you can identify what sort of warrior you are. Hallelujah. What sort of warrior you are. And just like mommy said, some people are stubborn naturally. That is very stubborn, very difficult to govern. Now that ability that you have that we call stubbornness in the natural is actually not stubbornness. That's just a manifestation of your gifting in the form of the flesh. You need to realize that constituent deposit from God as it applies to spiritual things. Even if the cross works on you, it's not everything about you that it takes away. Some people, well, okay, maybe let's go with the lecture. It will make sense when we are looking at it from context, from scripture, from verse. And hallelujah. Now, so what we are trying to describe, there are actually four kinds of female warriors. And when you mount up with wings in the spirit, when you really mount up, everything about your femininity begins to diminish. And then you become a spiritually powered entity. Now, this spiritually powered entity is what we want to research into during the course of this conference. It's needful for you to know your type. Know your type. Know your type in the spirit. Know your type what? In the spirit. As you grow in God, you begin to see that the covenants that God has with you determines what you are very skillful in fighting. Hallelujah. Now in my walk with God, God made some statements, very bogus statements to me, made those statements. And at the time that God made those statements, the statements did not have meanings. For instance, he came and said, "What is around you will not die." Well, thank you. What is around me will not die. I didn't know that was a covenant. And it came to pass in a season in my life, there was a threat on everything that was around me to be killed. And I said, oh, I rose up with that word that God spoke to me. Then I discovered that I was designed to fight death. Now, you never know your spiritual type. I'm happy when I see someone that death is following, because I'm called, I'm designed, I'm wired. My unique expression in the spirit has this specialty of undoing the works of death. Hallelujah. Now, you will never know your capacity in the spirit until you understand the covenants that are at work. Sometimes you will need to conduct a study on yourself, the things that happen when you are switched on. Now, so your true definition comes when you can understand that person that comes out of your vessel on the account of your being quickened by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, let's do a study. Weapons of power. Now, let's start from the book of Luke chapter 18, then we'll touch Hebrews chapter 11, and then when you get that point, and we can establish the first point, the first type of people. And the first tool and the first weapon that we need to pick. When we get this weapon very well, then I will now explain a statement I made previously, which you may not agree with, but in the context of my explanation, you understand what exactly I was trying to say. Luke 18. And he spake a parable. Jesus actually condensed this lesson into a parable. And at the end of the parable, he was so benevolent that he gave an interpretation to the parable and also brought the lesson that he wanted to teach from the parable. At this In this parable, Jesus was gracious. There were several parables he did not interpret, but he did not want this particular one to be left to doubt. And the Bible says he spake a parable unto them. And the reason for which the parable was spoken was what? To the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now let's check the subject of this parable closely before we stumble on the parable. Hallelujah. Oh my, I say hallelujah. Now, I've been laboring since the beginning of this year to actually teach the believers almost everywhere I go about what a man is. A man. Alright? I've been trying real hard, because there's a distortion of what a man is. Now, a school of thought, which is the Faith College, came up with a perspective, and they said that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he dwells in a body. 90% of us believe that perspective. Man is what? Spirit. He has a soul, and he dwells in. Unfortunately, that position is not supported by the Bible. Unfortunately. And the Bible happens to be the basis, the source of our philosophy, the source of our wisdom, and the source of our understanding. And the Bible doesn't support that philosophy. Rather, the Bible says there is a spirit in man. The Bible did not say that man is a spirit. It said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Secondly, the Bible says that God is in a business to sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. And according to Scripture, what God means by man is spirit, soul, and body. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Man is not a spirit, as you claim, but he is what? Now, I don't have time to press on that. Man is spirit, soul, and body. There were three members of the Godhead that came together for Project Man, because the invitation was, let us make man. So each member of that Godhead had a part to play in the making of man. If you study critically, you will see in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26, 27, you will see how that God the Father created man. So in this project, no, don't be distracted. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Amen. Stay with me. Okay? Now, you will notice in Scripture that the Bible says after Project Man was initiated, there was a part of that project. The Father came and did creation. Creation. The creative aspect of man was immaterial. He was created not from any material. There's still another aspect of that venture. A personality called Jehovah Elohim was the one that did that aspect. That had to do with an artistic work, modeling. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 7, the Bible says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it had grown, for God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, that's a pre-incarnate name of Christ. It was another personality in that Godhead that stepped down to perform that action. Are you still with me? All right. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. This formation is a molding activity. He formed him. It was Jesus that determined that me and you will look like this. He was the artist that gave this perspective, this physical perspective to us. And when that was done, the entity that was created in Genesis chapter 1 was released to abide here. The implication of that, which is quite technical, I don't have time, but the implication of that is that man became conscious in his soul. Now, so his first scope of consciousness was environmental and self-consciousness. But the being that God wanted to create was not a self, just a self-conscious being, not just an environmentally conscious being. Because the design for man was that he was supposed to be a creature that was created not after his own kind, but after God's own kind. There was still another part of the process that was not done. And that was the process, the part of the process that was supposed to be furnished by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit had done his part, we would have had the glory of God in Adam, and Adam would have had the capacity to. I hope you know Adam was not righteous. Adam was just innocent. Adam did not have the life of God. He had the life of man at that time. Adam was man in man, not man of God. Hallelujah. This is basic for God's sake. This is basic. We don't do like, no, this is basic Bible study. Hallelujah. He was man in man. He was man of man. He was not man of God. What would have made him man of God was that he would have become a partaker of the life of God. And the agency through which he would have partaken of the life of God was the tree of life. He was supposed to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. And then the life of God was going to be transmuted into his vessel. And then he would now have another layer of consciousness, which was not environmental and self-consciousness. It would now have been heavenly consciousness, spiritual consciousness. You get that? He did not have that advantage. It was in that second stage that the devil hijacked the project. Are you with me? Oh my. I said, are you here?
Yes,
now, do you know what happened? What he did to us? What Satan did to us? He hijacked the project at the point where we're self-conscious. We were men. We were mortal. Right? So even most Christians are still on that level of civilization. Because what Jesus came to do in redemption was now to create a possibility for the Holy Spirit to come and do the part of the work in Project Man that he could not do before the project was hijacked. So in the book of John chapter 3, the Bible says, verily, verily, verse 3, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you become born again, what happens to you is that another level, another life has come into your system. And on the strength of that life, the proof of life is consciousness. This life brings a consciousness of the realm of God, a consciousness of the kingdom of God. All of your growth in God is as a result of your capacity to grow in that consciousness that this new life imparts, this new life brings to your vessel. Now, you have a choice because you have lived your experience. You have lived as a mortal for so long, as a human being, functioning from the standpoint of self-consciousness and environmental consciousness. Then now we now have a new level of consciousness, which comes through the life of God. But you still, most of us are still, circumstances, situations still make us operate from that natural consciousness that we have received. If you are operating from that natural consciousness, you are not a challenge to the devil. You are limited. You are incapacitated. Any spirit being that comes against you will overcome you in battle because you don't have any spiritual advantage in your natural disposition. Your spiritual advantages come when you begin to subscribe to the consciousness that comes from the dimensions of the life of God that is imparted on you on the account of your salvation, on the account of your regeneration. Something else happens. The reason for preaching and teaching, the reason for Bible study, is so that you can understand what the implication of that investment really is and how to take advantage of it. It is in that investment that you can now become supernatural. It is in that investment that you can now become a man, but of God. You have the life of God, even though you are man. Are you with me? But you operate with the ability of God. It is that ability of God that makes you sufficient. Our sufficiency is not in our manness. Our sufficiency is in the privilege that we are partakers of the divine nature. Our sufficiency is in the nature of God that we are partakers of. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now. I know that the reason why I'm not running. We have not reached where we can take this parable. This parable is a capsule. It's a capsule like Cipro Floxacin. Now Cipro. Now we have not reached where we can take Jesus. The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. Now, there are some women here. If I'm talking to only them, I won't even use this scripture. We'll go far, but you see, we are many, and we need to go on this journey gradually. Every woman has a weapon, but you need to be trained to know how to pick it up. You know, the woman you spoke about, she took a weapon and killed a warrior. She had a weapon. You have one too. But you need to be trained to know how to use that weapon. Because the Bible says that we are the circumcision. We worship the Father in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we have no confidence in the flesh. A man that has not come in his walk with God to a point that he has no confidence in the flesh, we live by the flesh. And in the flesh, you amount to your least potential. Witches, wizards, orchestrations of the kingdom of darkness can manipulate your life. It doesn't matter where you studied. You studied in Oxford. You studied in Harvard. Hey, Jesus. Oh, my. Have you wondered why the native doctors don't come to town? They are still where they are. It doesn't matter where they are. People look for them. They have spiritual knowledge. Through the agency of demonic activity, they have fraternized with some spirits in the realm. And they have taken advantage at their own age. Jesus, may God open your eyes to come to that point where you have no confidence in the flesh. I've seen somebody that labored for a particular office, for a promotion. He labored for it. He went, saw this person, gave something here, made promises here, and then they eventually gave him the opportunity to sit in that office. The first day he sat on the chair, he became crippled. He thought. Hallelujah. Maybe he studied in Harvard. It didn't matter at that time. He studied in Oxford. It did not matter. He has a master's degree here. It's not no longer the problem. The problem is that what? He is incapacitated. And most of you like living life naturally. You always be on the losing side. Always be on the losing side. This is not how you were designed. You were not designed to be mortal. You were not designed to be so insufficient. And our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Our sufficiency is in God. And so Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's the only basis upon which our infirmities can be made up for. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the only. If I lock this door now and say, "Okay, we're going to pray for 3 hours," some of you will run out of gas. Yeah, I know. You run out of that. But me, when I arrive that 3 hours, that's when I mount up. I need that 3 hours to struggle into quickening. Once I get there, I don't bother about the time anymore. I'm already taking a flight. I can tell you what is happening in Cameroon. When my weapons come, you know, they'll be coming one by one. But when they start coming, the man that you are seeing there, that one man can do a lot of damage in 3 hours. 3 hours. You know, our brother was leading prayer for this conference, and he spoke about how that one angel was dispatched from heaven, and it destroyed 135,000 people in one night. Now, see, spiritual capacity is not geometry. It's not geometry. In the flesh, you attain to your least potential. But in the spirit, you attain to your greatest potential. In the work of mission, we have had to confront native doctors, destroyed altars, shrines, and a lot of those things. Some of you will run away if you see a shrine. You have not found yourself. You don't know what capacity you have. So you are in doubt if what the enchanter is doing will harm you. And if you are still in doubt, it means you have not discovered your weapon. And it's advisable for you to not go on that kind of an adventure. You may not come back the same. Hallelujah. But some others have discovered who they are. What they are, what they are capable of by the help of the Holy Spirit, that is now their reality. Oh my. So they know what to do in order to activate that reality, and on the strength of that reality, there are several things that will happen. That's a discovery that we are about to make today. So man is not spirit, soul, and man is not what? A spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. That's who you are. And even when you are done with this life and you begin to live in the life beyond, you will still be spirit, soul, and body. The Bible speaks about your tabernacle, your house that is domiciled in the heavens. Your spiritual body right now is in the heavens. And when you lose this physical body, you will wear that spiritual body. That is the testimony that is captured in the scriptures. For the Bible says that God has brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. The basis upon which you function is in immortality is that you put on your spiritual body that knows no death. As long as you have this physical body, if there's a time that the existence that this body can sustain will come to an end, it will give way so that you can wear another body that is not prone to death. So the gospel reveals life, how that we can become partakers of the life of God. The gospel also reveals how that through the life of God, we can wear the garment that is immortal and we can walk on the sea, the river of glass. Hallelujah. In the fullness of our acquaintance with Jesus Christ, through the work of redemption that was done upon the cross. Hallelujah. Now, so in the first part of the reading that we did is a lecture. There were many scriptures that Jesus began to teach how men should operate. For instance, Jesus said, man shall not live. Now, this is Jesus teaching man. Oh my. Yeah, you are not here. We can't go far today. If this is the perception level is low. We didn't pray. It's difficult like this when people don't pray. They just come to church and say, I was glad when they say, let us go into the... No, before you come into the house of the Lord, you prepare your spirit. Your spirit becomes stirred so that you are catching the thing that is coming, and then the gifts of the spirit on your life are at work. You are seeing it in the spirit, it becomes one with you. But when it's difficult to dispatch knowledge, then we have a congregation that is not there. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, so Jesus took a lot of effort, various instances in the Bible, to teach how man should be. One of the times he did that was in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempted of the devil. Then he gave a disclosure. Are you with me? He said what? Man shall not live by bread alone. It means there are two ways of feeding that man has. He has bread for his physical development. Very good. Hallelujah. He also has rhema for his spiritual development. Very good. If you decide to live on bread alone, you have not understood that you are man. Because man, by design, by ordination, shall not live. Oh my. I'm not saying don't live by bread, but I'm saying don't live by bread. You see, are you getting it? You got my definition of man, spirit, soul, and body. And the body needs sustenance by physical bread. And Jesus is saying, man, this entity called man, this enterprise of God called man, shall not live by bread alone. But many of us have lived many years by bread alone. What you have done is that you have strengthened your physical infrastructure, and you have declined the capacity, the potential of your spiritual infrastructure. So you are more physical than you are supernatural. Your abilities are physical. You have trimmed them. You have gone to school. You are very scholastic. Your brain is sharp. You know how to deploy your members to achieve things that you sustain upon your heart. But you see, in that level of that mode of civilization, you are most handicapped, because anything that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit is going to punch you down. You see, you don't forge ahead in life by willpower. Willpower. You know, in motivational classes, they say, believe, and then what?
decide.
And the people that teach that have not been to Africa. Have you heard the scripture that says, not of him that willeth? Very soon you will collide with something that you do not understand, and your will be revealed in its true value. It's insufficient. And so Jesus was teaching, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the... Now, see, the meat of that scripture is that we, the spiritual we, survive on the proceeding word of God. And I need to explain what the proceeding word of God is. Amen. You know, mommy was teaching, and mommy talked about receiving instructions from God. Proceeding word of God. What God is saying now is the proceeding word of God. What God said before is in the Bible, is documented in the Bible. Hallelujah. But man is not going to live by something that God said yesterday. Man will live by what God is saying now. Now, the only problem, I can practicalize that. I can practicalize it. If I move into practicals, then I show you what happens when I speak and what happens when God speaks through me. But if we do that, we'll not be able to recover this class again. When the power of God begins to manifest, for us to come back as quiet as this is not something I can guarantee. That's the only reason why I will not demonstrate it. In the natural, when you speak, it's empty. But when you are quickened, when you utter words, they are spirit and life. Right? Now, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone. Man will live by the proceeding word of God. If you can access the heart of God right now and access the utterance of God right now, that utterance of God that you access right now is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's where the weaponry comes into manifestation. We can lay hold on the weaponry of the Spirit when we begin to subscribe to the proceeding word of God. Now, so you by yourself, in yourself, are incapacitated. But when you can access the proceeding word of God, one of the things that happens to you when you receive the proceeding word of God is that your spirit becomes energized. That word of God travels with spiritual energy. It is that energy that your spirit feeds on, that your spirit survives by. And it is in the interest of your spirit to be receiving words from the mouth of God like that, because it energizes the very core of your being. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you heard scriptures like, he that watereth shall himself be watered? Because you can expend spiritual energy. You can expend spiritual energy. And so there is an arrangement for replenishment in the spirit so that you will not become weary. Now, there are many symptoms that find expression when you have not received replenishment and you come under fire. Yeah, there are many symptoms. I don't want to go too fast, because I want you to see the sequence, and I want you to see what God did. He walked over time to make provision for us so that we are capable of handling physical situations. We are also capable of handling spiritual situations. Yes, man should have that capacity because of the privilege that God has given him. Legitimately, because of his spirit, he can participate in spiritual activity. And I need to say it here, because I tried to say it somewhere. Somebody say, we have not heard this one before. That's not the matter. You don't study your Bible. The truth of the matter is that even God is illegal for God to operate here. God, without a man giving him the right of way, is illegal. I have scriptures. I have a lot of scriptures for that. Why do you think God, the sovereign God, had to become man in order to accomplish redemption? Why? He would have stayed in heaven and maybe declared, redemption is done. The Bible says the earth, the heavens, even the heavens belongs to God. It is the earth he has given unto the sons of men. That's why prayer is important. In prayer, we give God the permission. We make it legal for God to be able to operate because we invited him. If God manifests without an invitation, he has broken his own policy statement that he gave in Psalms 115 verse 16. So if you have not yet begun life, because life begins when you learn how to invite God, prayer is a major heavy molecule in the Christian life. It's a heavy molecule. If you find an evil spirit just strolling around your house, you can arrest that spirit, and the spirit will remain there for as long as you have decreed the arrest of that spirit. The reason is because the spirit is operating there because somebody invited him, the evil spirit. And if you are a very good person, say, me, I won't invite any spirit. I won't invite good one. I won't invite bad one. I'll just be there. Just be there. Jesus said, man does not live like that. Man does not what? Live. Even if you say you won't invite anyone, I'll just stay on my own. You will find people that are skillful in bringing different kinds of spirits. And your life is going to come under heavy fire. So we are not saying battle because we like to war and we don't have rest, so we are looking for how to create our activity. I'm saying there is no peace in this side of heaven. It's a broken world. So the earlier you learn the way of warfare, I think the better. I don't have time to go into the legalities. I don't have time to go into jurisdiction, issues of jurisdiction. The reason why the Bible says that that river, by the pool of that pool of Bethesda, by five porches. The reason why the Bible says angels, the angel that comes to steady place comes in a certain season. I don't have time. There are technicalities that are involved in this matter. But I want us to do the basic ones first. Basic. But see, we are behind schedule. These syllables. What? Well, the Lord will help us. So Jesus, in many scriptures, started teaching us about how man should be. Man must know how to access the proceeding word of God. What is God saying now? How I wish we had time so that we will do practical. Because I can teach you how to access the mind of God now. If you are born again. Are you born again? Oh my. You don't know the power that is at your disposal. You are just living like flesh. Living like an engineer because you were trained to be one. There's so much power. So much power that we are not laying hold on. And so that's the first lesson we see Jesus teaching man. He said, learn how to also access the proceeding word of God. That's the pathway by which you can receive energy in your spirit. That's the way by which energy can come and your spirit becomes renewed. You become light. Become light inside. Now, there are so many dispositions of the human spirit. Are you with me? So many dispositions. You can have a broken spirit. A broken spirit. A broken spirit. When an event happens to somebody and the person is exposed to pain that such a person wasn't spiritually prepared for, the person's spirit can become broken. The implication of that is that such a person will lack the ability to exercise that spirit until the spirit is healed. Now, in that state of brokenness, the devil can bring affliction. Oh my. Niakuma silakomba. He can muster at demons of affliction to come and apply pressure on that person. And if he doesn't succeed to kill the person, it is because God intervened in his sovereignty. But so the devil knows he will gain a lot by breaking your spirit. He knows that. If you are such a person that is not immune to what other people say, you are conscious. In fact, you put one instrument to find out what people are saying about you. You will not last for too long. You will not last for too long. You will be crippled at some point because you have not learned how to live
like man.
Jesus' prescription for man is that just like you feel hungry and you go to the kitchen, you should also know when you are hungry in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now, if I preach again for the next 15 minutes, I'll begin to feel my spirit. I'm not feeling it now, but I'll tell you when I feel it. And when I begin to feel it, I will tell you what the abilities I have in the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell you that right now, oh my Jesus. Okay, that's the first lecture. Second thing now we are seeing in the book of Luke here. In the book of Luke, Jesus is now, the purpose of the parable is trying to communicate to us is how that, what? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I need to explain. Now, meanwhile, is that how you are? Do you pray always? That's why I use the word ought. Even though it is not so, even though men don't like praying, according to the design that we put together in the council, before we decided to go and start creating man, we wrote in the charter, in the Magna Carta, that men, what this man want to create, they shall not live by bread alone. That's one. Number two, men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, you may not be like that, but you are a departure from the design. Now, and just in case you have found a way of living, existing, without always praying, you are straying away from the design of man. There was this dog, you know, those days we had female dogs, all right? So our goat gave birth the same time the dog gave birth. So the goat, they normally jump. So the young dog now started growing with the goat and started jumping one kind of, you know, you see, the truth is, no matter how that dog jumps, you will not become a goat. Now, you might be doing all kinds of things, but the prescription is this. You say what? Man, you will never, you are jumping, doing all kinds of things. The other day, one young man just came home and said, he spoke in Tiv language because I had to look for an interpreter. Then what did that young man say? I want to, you know what he said in Tiv language? He has not heard the sound of mortar since morning. that in this house, the sound of mortar, he has been straining. He has not heard the sound of mortar. Now, he became such a creature, but the original document is not missing. It's still there. And in that document, men ought always to pray and what? You know why that prescription is there? How I wish I had time. There are 12 things about men. And you, well, by the time we read all, if you find out that you are not doing anyone, then maybe you understand why the devil is on your case. And you look incapacitated, helpless, and maybe you come to church, the pastor will say, next week something will happen. He himself knows nothing will happen because you are not operating like a man. Now, I decided not to be a preacher of false hope because that is a lie. That thing that pastor is doing is a lie. He knows this one cannot, there's no good thing that can come out of this. Why not teach the people? And, you know, when people start praying now, most of you will run. Most of you, no, I know, the church. You know why I say men ought always? Because the normal, natural, carnal man will never want to pray. Prayer is not a relative of the flesh. It's not a relative. You can talk naturally and talk till tomorrow morning. But if you are going to be talking to a spirit, you need to be helped. You need to be aided. Hallelujah. Now, if only we knew God's design for man, and if God can find a man, what he's looking for is not an angel. The job on ground, angels can't do it. Even the great Michael will be limited in this matter. He is looking for what? A man. Hallelujah. So, all right. No, some people will catch me after the service. So let me not make that statement. Are you still with me? On this matter right now, God is looking for a man. A man will have legitimacy to function in the spirit, and because of the body of earth, a man will have legitimacy to function on earth. This man, through redemption, and I hope you know, there are two things that we have that are blessings to us because we are men that angels don't have. One of them is that when angels rebel, they become demons. But we have the privilege of redemption. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Since you didn't follow me, so let me stop. Because most of you that are saying man is a spirit, you want to be like an angel? Because the Bible says angels are spirits. You are not a spirit, but you have a spirit. I can tell you the limitations of angels because they are spirits. Even God himself has limitations because by an act of his own decree, he decided that he will function as a spirit. So he is limited. But he created a man, an entity that would legally operate in the natural realm and supernaturally operate through his grace in the spiritual realm. That's an agent of creation that is different from every other agent. You can't call him a spirit. You can't call him an animal. His name is what? Man. You get it? And then God now is prescribing to us, and he's saying that ought. In order for these men to be able to realize their spiritual capacity, they need to begin to exercise themselves always in prayer. You will never find your weapon except you do what men ought to do. Never find your weapon. There is nothing special about any believer, any man of God. There's nothing special about it. And I promise you that in our own time in ministry, we'll demystify the man of God phenomena. Because, yes, you know that everything that you are, the anointing comes by the mercy of God. You know it. And you know, okay, maybe you don't know. I've seen many people that the anointing is the reason for their pride. You have not traveled with God far enough. You have not traveled with God. Every move of the Holy Spirit is as a result of the mercy of God. And thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. The reason why he will arise is because he had mercy on Zion. Every time God moves over your life, it's an act of mercy. It means in heaven he decided to show mercy. That is the only thing that can power the move of the Spirit. And the day he decides not to have mercy, you can wear your regalia, yeah, your garment, your robe, and you take a song, and the song will only reach the roof. Because you have not understood the way of men. Men, a man is a derivative being, and he will have to align with the being that is derived from in order for him to get the essence of that being. That's the reason why in grace, no man can boast. Alright? So grace is supposed to sentence you to a place, a posture of utter dependence on God. I don't have time to press further on that matter. Hallelujah. So he said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So when you begin to do that regularly, there are several discoveries about yourself that you are going to make. Those discoveries you are going to make are some of the things we want to find out. When you pray always, you ought to pray. Because that is going to be the basis for you to be switched on into another elevation level. Another elevation level. That elevation level has its own realities. Has its potentials. Has, oh my. If you have not yet made prayer a regular practice in your life, you are missing something. You are missing something. You are missing something. Because when we start praying now, if I'm checking the time, because today we'll do practical for long. Checking when we kick into prayer now, because I pray regularly, those realities are switched on.
Only men that pray always can understand the things that I want to raise now. And just in case you are not praying always, I will show you these things. And the day you make up your mind to begin to pray always, you will find them. In the flesh, you attain to your least potential. And in the spirit, what happens? You attain to your greatest potential. And so the invitation to access your greatest potential, it's your resolve, your decision, to start to begin to pray always. Then the gateways of grace, the layout of the kingdom of God, you can now begin to experience the layout. There are high things I thought I could discuss with us in this conference. Baba will help us. In order for you to pray always, that's Jesus' intention for formulating this parable. To reveal to us that men ought always to pray and not to. Alright, let's go with the parable. I hope at the end of the parable, the purpose for which Jesus gave us the parable will be achieved in your life. It's a hope. It's a great hope. Because many people read this parable, there was no paradigm shift in their prayer engagement. Meanwhile, the parable was written so that men will know what they ought to do. Let's go on. So there are two realities that are possible for men. One of the realities is that they faint. Another reality is that they pray. Can we start again? Can you preach to your neighbor for me? It's either you are fainting or you are praying. So we have two kinds of men. The fainting men and the praying men. And notice when Jesus was about to be tempted, he went yonder and he prayed. And when he came back, he met fainting men. Now, these fainting men have no ability to affect things in the spirit realm. They are incapacitated. All the limitations of their natural existence are on display. You know why? You don't pray naturally. Psalms 80, quickly, verse 18. You don't pray naturally. No. You don't pray naturally. Quickly, let's do that. Psalms 80:18. It says, so we will not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. If you pray in the flesh, you will faint. You will run out of gas. You need spiritual support to be able to talk to a spirit and enjoy discussing with the spirit. Even there is a monk in the shrine, he receives assistance from demons to be able to maintain a conversation with demonic spirits. He says, so we will not depart from thee. Quicken us. And what will be the result? One of the results of quickening. You know, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickens. He said, the flesh profited nothing. The assignment of quickening is relegated to a particular office. The office of the quickener is the Spirit of God that sits in that office. And only him can quicken in this kingdom. Are you with me? So Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. And then Jesus now said, those words he speaks after he becomes quickened are spirit words, are living words. They have the ability to create. They have the ability to produce the things that they see. Are you with me? Now, so that's one of the symptoms of quickening. Quickening. When you are quickening, the things you utter have creative ability. Second thing is that when you are quickened, you now have the statutory capacity and energy to begin to communicate to God. Now, so we have two things here, two scenarios for men. We have fainting men. And the reason why they are fainting is not because they don't have an intention to pray. These ones too want to pray the way you pray. But they have not found the secret of quickening. So in the best of their intentions, what happens to them is that they end up fainting.
Meanwhile, men are not supposed to faint, even though fainting is a spiritual experience. Now, if the status of your experience spiritually is equal to fainting, you came to clinic, is the intensive care unit of the grace of God. That's what is operating here right now, so that you can find quickening from the Holy Spirit. And I cannot overemphasize quickening. Because if we go to higher levels and we begin to talk about quickening, just like I said, if just a few sisters were available here now, then know these ones I'm teaching. And we'll move higher. We'll not be touching this scripture. Quickening is in levels. Oh, Jesus. Well, God will help us. Quicken us! And what? We shall call upon thy name. In my own, it is when we begin to engage God spiritually, we find out we are different. Yes. God created even spiritually. Spiritually and potentially, we are different. I have found out how the easiest way for me to be quickened. I found out. In my own work with God, I found out. Maybe if I share it with you, it may even hinder you. So that's why I won't say it. But I found out. I can get quickened now. I'm just waiting for the time. When the time reaches, I will use my own way. And I will go up there. Because I know that there are some abilities I will never have down here. I will have to be quickened up there so that I can function in that capacity. That capacity is mine, but it's not in me. It is in the Spirit. So when I can access the Spirit, I can take advantage of that capacity. There is a written word, and there is a living word of God. The difference between the written word and the living word of God is the quickening Spirit. Jesus can quicken the same scriptures you read yesterday night that was very dry. He can quicken it into your heart. And that scripture is burning, is alive. Everything is animated by the quickening Spirit. The quickening Spirit is actually the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and Jesus Christ, the life. He gives life to scriptures. He can give life to your prayer. He can give life to your utterance. When you speak it, the thing that is inside the barbed wire will receive a hot blow that will make it sleep for some time. Quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. Part A of that scripture says, so we will not depart from thee. That is the experience of, that is the wisdom of experienced spiritual people. Because when you are praying and trying to engage God and you are not quickened, it's so boring. But spiritual people know. Now, if the fact that it's boring, we don't have a choice. This is the only way. So we will not depart. But a carnal man will not say, oh boy, this thing they tell you, you go come out. So can't. That carnal man that comes from that place is the type that faints. You know, we have two kinds of men. No? We have fainting men, and we have what? Praying men. The one that has not understood that secret, he would, why this thing they had like this? Did they had? That's the way. It's not easy for any one of us. But it's not that we know that there's no option. So we will not depart. We remain. But you now pray and say, oh, but this is no good. I think that also when they do like that, God will come down. He they come. God they come. But you see, he is a king. He shows up when he wants to. You can't, your pressure, the fact that you were doing it crying, will not move him. He's a king. He shows up on his own terms. And so wise men now discover we will not depart. That you didn't come yesterday, we are still here. Because it's only when you quicken us that we shall call upon thy name. I can be crying in the room praying for a sermon. Then the Holy Spirit, in 3 days, sometimes 3 days, he will not say anything. I'm already at the airport, and then they announce a 3 hours delay of the flight. And the seat we are sitting is one zinc seat, one kind of terrible seat that's not even comfortable. It was on that uncomfortable seat when they say, flight delayed for 3 hours. Now you're not quicken me. Shh. He said, when you get there? I said, you are late. Oh. He said, no, I'm not late. I decide when is best for me to come. And you may not even know the wisdom that actually determines when I come. That's a wisdom. That's a wisdom that will never be given.
Only wise men say, we will not depart from you. Are you one of the wise men? If you have an alternative, you will not subscribe to this channel. This channel is not clear sometimes. You want it, the thing will be showing wave. So you will be so frustrated, you want to tune another channel. You say, we will not depart from you. Yes. I will not fight until you have gone there. When I get there and I come out, then I ask, who was making noise around? Oh, me I fight. Oh. I'm not like you, you know. I will hide first. And then he will just quicken. Pop, 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 pop. Drop a few scriptures. The Lord is known by the judgment that he executed. That's the one he dropped. And I go out and ask, who was causing problem? You know what? He has sent me to fight. And that scripture he dropped, he said he's known by the judgment he executed. So on the strength of that scripture, I'm a law enforcement agent. If I say it, it will happen that time. I'm deadly at that moment because I'm no longer operating by my own natural power. I've been quickened. I hope you know, throughout the whole Bible, there is no scripture that says you can give command to any angel. You know, some faith people teach it. Send your angel. Move them. You know what? Before I started hearing all this corrupted gospel, I studied the Bible from front to back, from back to front, and I did it as a hobby. And then I came to town. Now I saw people teaching all kinds of stuff. And I know it's not in the Bible. Hallelujah. Even the Son of Man, Jesus himself, when he was on the cross, he said, me, I will pray the Father. And he will send 12 what? Legions of angels. Jesus did not say, I will call Michael from... You don't understand. They don't answer to you. They answer to the Father. And if it's true that you have received that word, that proceeding word of God, it came from the mouth of the Father, the one you are speaking. If you are saying it because you heard the Father utter it, then angels will respond when you speak it, because it's not your word, it is whose word? The Father's word. And it is only to him that they respond. The Bible says that they carry out the bidding of the Father. And so the next time they preach, say you go to the market and then you send two angels out, just know it's science fiction. That's not the Bible. That's science fiction. That's not the Bible. Don't get lost. The truth is here and it's available. If you want to find out, go and study it. And there's no time, much more than this current age, that we need to get fast into the scriptures, much more, because so many people are saying so many things. And native doctors and herbalists are also in the business of using the Bible for exhortation. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's go. Now that you got that, just give me 15 minutes, let me round up with this. And then I'll take you to the book of Hebrews. And I'll show you what people were capable of doing by faith. Okay, now come with me. Let's go to the parable. There was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded men. Now Jesus is trying to unveil what we call worst case scenario. I will show you the worst case scenario, okay? There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regarded man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I took a study of the word weary. Kai, we don't have time. Okay, let's leave that. That was his own concern. The reason for his motivation to give her justice was because she had the potential of wearying him. Kai, we'll keep that word for now. We'll see if we had time. And then Jesus is now giving us the lesson for the parable. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, I would like you to underline the word faith. Hallelujah. Hey. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He's such a unique kind of teacher to dispense knowledge and wisdom from God. Hallelujah. And Jesus uses the teaching aid of parables when he wants to communicate many things. Are you with me? When he wants to communicate many things, he concocts parables. And then he communicates those men, he puts them in a pictorial form, puts them in a context, puts all those many things within that context, so that in that context he can address many things at the same time. And so if he wants to actually deal with many issues, he concocts a parable. Jesus is wonderful. He's a teacher that operates by the spirit of wisdom himself. May the Lord be blessed forever in the name of Jesus. Now, sometimes I just get blessed reading the words of Jesus. I'm okay. No man can speak like that. No man can talk like that. Hallelujah. So when he wants to address many issues, he concocts a parable and he releases his form. Now, see, the Bible says he gave us a very good identity of the judge. A judge that doesn't fear God. A judge that doesn't regard the persons of men. The only thing that this judge responds to is himself. Doesn't fear. External forces cannot influence him. He's a man all by himself. Hallelujah. I will not go further. You know, there's a judge in the house, so let me not go to judges. I wanted to touch. Hallelujah. So this guy doesn't succumb to external forces. God does not prompt this judge. He's independent of God. And whether you come and cry, you know he is just good. He's independent of external influences. The only thing he responds to is himself. Now, and then the Bible now reveals that a widow now had a case. Now, it is on the strength of that word, widow, that I want to rest for some minutes. Widow. A widow. A widow. A widow. In the society that script was captured, if you check their culture, the most vulnerable set of people that will find expression in that society were widows. A woman in that society was as good as the name of her husband. If her husband was somebody that was respected in the society, she was also going to be respected. She was as good as her husband, and she was as relevant as her husband's lifetime. The most vulnerable set of people. In fact, as long as the husband is alive, you easily know, because she'll be carrying a veil. In their custom, the veil was an indication that she was under fiscal authority. It was when her husband now dies that she can now go around without the veil. And when you see a woman walking around without the veil, you know that if you hurt her, there will be nobody to fight for her. Hallelujah. Why? Because she's uncovered. She doesn't have the authority of any name in that estate. And so in such a situation, the only way for her to appeal is to go to court. Now, if the husband were alive and you touch her, you have touched the family name. It's a big case. In fact, they will have to go to the gate of the city to discuss it. Elders will be summoned, even the ones in old age that use crutches. That day, they will come. They will come out of their house, died out. Because, oh my God. I kept reading this parable today, and it was just sweetening my spirit. I saw the things that Jesus dragged into this parable. There are many. Hallelujah. Now, so this, the elders, because in the culture of the Jewish people, the gate was not just an entry point. That was not what it was. It was a place of government. It was a place where elders will sit down and take the decision that will affect people that are inside that gate. It's not a passageway. So when we talk about gates, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The Jews understand it better. They know that it is gates. Gates are, those are, that's the sentry post for men of authority, for governments. That's where government takes place. So when we talk about the gates of hell, we're talking about the government of hell shall not, what? Prevail. And so this woman was a widow. And there is nobody that has the capacity. She doesn't have the capacity to summon the elders to the gate. Because that's not a woman's business. The elders will not respond to her call, even though she's subjugated, even though she's maligned, even though she's marginalized. And so the only option that she has is to proceed to court. And in a scenario where the lawyer or the judge doesn't respond to external forces, he doesn't operate by the prompting of God, neither will he allow pressure from men to influence him. In fact, fundamentally, when the woman came first and foremost, the reason why he attended to the woman was because the state had mandated him to attend to people. So the woman just had to be attended to because it is the job of the state. However, he did not intend to see her through with her plea. But this woman decided to persist. And then in her persistence, the man came to a conclusion that it is possible that this woman will weary me. Now, let us get the context. The woman now, I hope you know, he responds only to himself. Doesn't respond to God. Doesn't respond to men. And he's unjust. That's his nature. I don't want to press into that because of personal issues. I don't want to press into... there's something there. There's something there. But let's leave that matter. Let's leave that matter. Hallelujah. The odds were against her. In fact, it's the kind of judge that you'll be discouraged from advancing to court because of his kind of person. But that was the only option the woman had. She didn't have any other option. So she kept persisting and kept persisting until this man saw that this woman is not about to give up. So he made a decision because the woman had capacity to weary him. It was a constant that the woman will come again. You adjourn it, she will show up. So he adjourned it many times thinking that she will become weary, that the process is so complicated. But the woman, she has a grace to be there. So this woman discovered that the technique of adjournment will not weary this woman. The only person that is becoming weary now is me. Me, myself. And becoming an object of weariness because of the persistence of this woman. And then because of his health, because of himself, he decided to give the woman judgment. Now this is worst case scenario. Unjust judge, doesn't fear God, doesn't regard men. But because of his being weary, he gave her judgment. And then God is saying, what about me? Me, I'm loving. In fact, I am partial. I'm on your side. We are relatives. So if you are praying to me and it's as if I tarried, the fact that I'm your relative, I'm loving. And you know that my thoughts concerning you are thoughts of good and not of evil. Is it not supposed to be an encouragement even though you don't understand what is making the case to tarry? The fact that I am like this and I'm not an unjust judge, is that not an encouragement to keep you coming? And the lecture here was to teach men that they ought to pray and not to faint. And then Jesus began to draw the lesson for the parable. And in drawing the lesson for the parable, Jesus identified a factor. He said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? Now, I would like us to open that. Because in... are you here? Stay with me, please. We are getting close now. Now, I hope you know, men, they ought to pray. And if you are going to pray always, you are going to pray always because you have that kind of faith that Jesus is talking about. Now, your spiritual adventures are actually predicated on that kind of faith that Jesus is expecting to find if he comes. And in this coming, it's not the second coming. No. This is not second coming. Follow the context of the story. This is coming, is his coming to come and administer justice on the account of your prayer. This is his coming. Because he will not tell you when he's coming to administer justice. He will not, sometimes he will adjourn a particular case without giving you notice for the next city. Are you following me? So the day he now comes to give judgment, he's armed with everything to give judgment. Meanwhile, there are a lot of permutations that determine when God will be righteous in giving that judgment. A lot of permutations. They are captured in the secrets of wisdom, which we don't have time to go into. A lot of permutations there. So when he becomes righteous for God to come and give you that judgment, he said, will he still find you persistent? There is a kind of faith that is responsible for persistence in the spirit. And any woman that does not have that kind of faith that yields persistence will not synchronize with the judge when it comes to bring justice. So most women are wearied out of court. Because if you check the scenario here, it's a court system. And in that court system, there is an avenge me of my adversary. There's an adversary. And then the third thing we can see there is the proceedings will take time to secure judgment that is fitting for the prayer. Are you with me? It will take time. But the reason why that time is not a factor of discouragement is because we understand that the judge is on our side. It is supposed to be an encouragement. There is a faith that drinks his life, that draws his life from an understanding that God is on my side. Now, let me take another scripture. So we need to jump into faith now. The lexicon of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In order to find that kind of faith. Because when the Son of Man shall come, you know what that faith is? It's a practice that the people of God do not have any longer. Now, how many of you are here that can hold a prayer point for 1 year? Do you know, brethren, of those days? Maya Koleko Sila. Sometimes when they look at us, they laugh. They say, "You are trying." They know what it means to labor. A brother came here the other day and told me that I knelt down to pray for Benway first in 1939, and I have remained in that prayer till today. How long can you carry a revival body? It is this faith that is lacking, that we are like balloon. We are like balloon Christians, balloon. Meanwhile, according to the design, men ought always to pray. So Jesus is now showing us the secret of what? Praying always. There is a faith involved. The faith draws its tenacity from the fact that the judge is what? Judge is a loving judge. The judge is a righteous judge. The judge is a just judge. And the judge is my relative. Amen. He will know how to rightfully apply that factor that we are related. Meanwhile, in order for him to gather gather and balance all the positions in the particular case. It might take some time, but you know that at the end of the day you get a good judgment because of the kind of judge he is. But the believers today no longer have that capacity to persist in the place of prayer because there is a faith that is lacking. So let's go to Hebrews. Let's check that faith. Ilamo sele kule musika bahada. Ilamo rika patoske la iramonte. Leboro kundara. Miso kotomi negaide kunzame. Hebrews chapter 11. Every woman here today is supposed to rededicate himself, herself, to that kind of faith. When you find women in scripture that were giants for God, the underlying principle that was behind their exploits of consistency in the throne room, beckoning of God, demanding heaven to respond, demanding justice, demanding judgment, women that became prayer pillars, women that became terrors to cleanse territories. All of their adventures were predicated on this kind of faith. All right. Let's do it right. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hallelujah. Can we do Hebrews 11:11? Now, the other scripture I would have raised, we don't have time to raise that scripture anymore. Have you read the Chronicle? Okay, let's start from here. This scripture is supposed to be a gateway into the understanding of that kind of faith that is responsible for persistence. That is the strength of every woman. Hallelujah. That's the strength of every woman. In her assignment as the cornerstone, she feeds on this faith. She's propelled by this faith. She glides in the spirit by this faith. And when we begin to have less mothers with this capacity of persistence that draws its life from this kind of faith, then it means that our civilization as a generation is beginning to collapse. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 11. Through faith, oh my God, I would have started with Abraham. But we don't have time. Through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when past the age. Now, there is a time factor there. There is the thing, the case tarried long. And the length of time that was figured in her case was supposed to render any modern day Christian woman helpless. But what was it that made Sarah's case different? She was delivered of a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. It is because of her understanding of the judge. She knew the judge could never be against her. And that is the lie that the devil will try to sell to every woman, because it's actually treacherous to be a woman at this time. There's so many pressures that come upon her. Hallelujah. When something is good, they say it's the man that did it. When something is terrible, they say, see. Hallelujah. See your son now. Hallelujah. Now, this woman must have a very strong relationship with God. A relationship with God that must be serviced by a knowledge, a revelation that she has contacted in her spirit, how that God is faithful
Alright? She's living by the revelation of the faithfulness of God, not by the prescription of people, not by the utterances of people, not by situations, not by circumstances. The Bible says she receives strength to conceive seed. She receives strength to bring forth a child. And her secret was that there was no way you could make her feel that the judge was not faithful. People are like, some people are like milk, others are like wine. Milk gets bad with time, wine gets better with time. When you find a wine Christian that gets better with time, irrespective of circumstances, of situation, God has supplied the revelation of his faithfulness to that heart. And there is nothing you can do that can make her believe that God is not faithful. Those kind of people can survive in season and out of season. The secret to perception is your understanding of the judge. That's why you break easily, because you don't trust the judge. You chicken out easily. It's because your foundation is not rooted. Sometimes you suspect the judge. Suspect him. Say, why is it taking too much time? And all of that. You need to die to every human parameter that you are using to judge the judge. And you need to have a revelation of his faithfulness born by the Spirit of God. There was nothing logical that was the reason for this, for which this woman persisted in faith. Nothing logical. The only secret that the woman would have had was that God had come to her some time ago and ministered to her. Always remember, I am faithful. So she held that in mind. There was 1,001 reasons for her to disprove that point, but it was not strong enough to take away that revelation that she had. She had faith. And when the Son of Man came to administer justice to her, she found her in faith. She was still believing. And she knew that the judge will come, that death will not take her until the judge decides to come and to pronounce justice on the matter. And you know the kind of case she had. She had a very strong adversary that was trying to take over her territory. And her voice in her domain was already quieting, because the adversary began to make a lot of noise and began to gain a lot of influence. There were so many reasons why that woman would have lost faith, if not that God gave her a revelation. Her confidence was based on that revelation. My God is faithful. My God will come. My God will come true. My God will be made manifest. And then people around will now look at her and mock her. And the mockery was not sufficient to make her lose her position. And you know, she was in that condition. You know how long she was in it? Can you survive mockery for that long? Christians no longer have the capacity to function like wine. Time breaks them. Time devours them. 7 months, no payment of salary. I just saw one like this. And I knew she was just hanging on her sinews. She was not, there was no faith supporting her. It's in that condition you can now become afflicted by a sickness that the doctors can't diagnose. When there's no faith left, you are just hanging on your bones. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are not good. Satan is not in control, my brother. She had a source of comfort. She knew that the judge cannot be bought. She knew that the judge cannot eventually become her enemy. And she was hanging in there and hanging in there. I was wondering how that day was when the judge of all the earth arose and proclaimed, "Now I open your womb to take in seed." I wonder how that day was
Was it that the sun shined brighter? Was it that the rains fell to water the land? There was nothing physical that made the day significant. It was just that the one that she had exercised her faith in decided to come true. The immortal God rose up and said, this is Sarah's day. And the Bible says she was given strength to conceive seed. Many of you, it was just 12 years of burden that you carried. Then your neck turned around. If the warrior saints in the Middleburg Church do not have the technology for persistence, this enemy that is coming against us is determined to weary us. But we must draw our capacity. Our shock absorbers must be linked to something that cannot die. The Bible says what Sarah, she received strength to bring forth. It's this kind of faith that makes you persist. When there's no logical reason for you to have persisted. And you come through all kinds of storms. You come through all kinds of circumstances. You come through all kinds of situations. And when the devil comes to check tomorrow morning, we killed her this night, she will still find you standing. Such a person has a connection to something that Satan does not know. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? I know there are many of us in the congregation. God gave you great promises. And when he told you, you believed it. And the reason for which he told you was because seasons of darkness were going to come. He was expecting you to hold on to those words. That he that spoke is faithful. He that uttered them is true. He spoke mighty words to you. And when the storms of life, the cares of this world, pressures from all sides began to beat on your life, strand by strand, you left those words slip out of your heart. You could no longer believe in them, and then you became like a destitute, wandering without an inheritance. I have come to prophesy to you that you can get back and lay hold of that which God has spoken, because God is not like men. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a son of man that he should repent. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle from my word will fall to the ground without being accomplished. Oh, has God spoken a word over your life? Did he make a proclamation? He looked at you and said, oh my God, you will be called by a new name. The Bible says, cast not away your confidence. There'll be so many reasons for you to cast it away. He said, cast not away your confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of reward. Your prayer point is simple. I reach back to that word, that counsel, that promise that God has spoken. I reach back. The immortal God, the invincible God, the all-wise God, the powerful God. He's the one that uttered his words, and his words will not return to him void. Can you begin to pray right now? Because we are going back. We are going back to lay hold on everything that God has told us. Everything that God has intended. The devil is not in control. Come on, Monde, like a man. Oh, ma, oh. Oh,
God is not a man that he should lie. It's foolishness to doubt him. The immortal, the invincible, the only wise God. The only one that speaketh a thing and it cometh to pass. Oh, 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 oh. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Oh, woman of God. Oh, woman of God. Oh, daughter of Zion. Where is your faith? Oh, 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 to him that believe. Oh, 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 oh. Are you one of those that had a better yesterday? The light of God on your life was so strong. The hand of God was so mighty, and you were deceived by the devil, you were deceived by the enemy, you cast away your weapon. It is a good time tonight to make demands on heaven so that you can retrieve that weapon again.